mother. He, of course, rose to prominence in the 1990s as one of the premier dancehall artists. After his arrest, his case and appeals would drag on for years in federal court in the U.S. And even one of the jurors in his 2011 conviction was actually found guilty in 2015 of contempt for researching the case outside the court. And she was sentenced to 5 months of probation, 40 hours of community service, and ordered to write a report about the cost of Banton's high-profile trial. And there's speculation about where he will perform his very first show. I guess, no, you know, Bushel will, of course, face many obstacles as he seeks to adjust to life as a free man in the society. In fact, there's a lot of change since his incarceration. The music landscape is certainly not the same. We, however, are happy that he's back home and is now a free man. And we await new music from him and wish him all the best for the next phase of his life. And I'm not sure if you watched Jimmy Fallon last night, Raspin, but he was talking about the song that influenced and changed his life forever as a kid. And that song is, of course, Pass the Dutchie, a reggae song by musical youths that was recorded back in the 70s. And finally, reggae star Itania, well, she has ended the drought of female nominees, bagging a nomination for the Best Reggae Album with her Reggae Forever set. And the nominees in the 61st Annual Grammy Awards for Best Reggae Album category are, of course, the Itana album I just mentioned, 44876 by Sting and Shaggy, A Matter of Time, this one by Protégé, As the World Turns by Black Uhuru, and Rebellion Rise by Ziggy Marley. And the award ceremony takes place on Sunday, February 10th, and it's at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. So there you have it, Ras Pim, the entertainment report.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is your entertainment report with Anthony Turner. It is now time for our featured segment. It is Mic Check. Well, you must have heard the news by now, ladies and gentlemen, that Jamaica's music, reggae music, It has met the criteria, yes, and it has satisfied all the criteria for reggae music to be inscribed on the United Nations representative list of music. Reggae music. This morning, our very special guest is the one and only Professor Iba Cooper. He was there when Inner Circle was born, and he was there when Third World was born. He's going to join us this morning to talk about reggae music and its journey and its achievement. Anthony Turner, introduce Professor Cooper.
Well, as you said, Rasklin, we're happy again to welcome original reggae ambassador. We're talking about Mr. Michael Iba Cooper to Groovin' Radio. And of course, the original reggae ambassador's Third World started when Iba Cooper and Stephen Catcore formed their own band and made their international debut. It was 1973, and the band created hits like 96 Degrees in the Shade, Know That We've Found Love, Tried Your Love, Sense of Purpose, and Forbidden Love. And Cooper, who was actually born in Clarendon, he served as keyboard player. He was a songwriter and vocalist until he left the band in 1997. After 25 years on the road, Iba has embarked on a new life and a new career as a senior lecturer at the Edna Manley College of Visual and Performing Arts in Jamaica. He has also served as chairman of the Jamaica Reggae Industry Association, as guest lecturer in the sociology department of the University of the West Indies. And his special achievements include recording and producing 14 albums for Third World, recording Punky Reggae Party with the Honorable Robert Nesta Marley and Lee Scratch Perry. This happened in London, England. Iba recorded Tried Your Love with Stevie Wonder in California, and recorded and produced the original festival song Cherry O' Baby. And his special awards include Order of Distinction Officer Class for service to the Jamaican music industry. Plus, he has received 6 Grammy nominations. So we welcome Iba Cooper to Groovin' Radio.
And I guess, ladies and gentlemen, when reggae music started, it started with a sense of purpose. And that sense of purpose is still being felt today all around the world. Third World. And we have one of its founding members this morning, Michael Iba Cooper. OD. For the United Nations to finally recognize the sense of purpose in reggae music. As a Jamaican, wherever you are in the world, you must be proud.
People call you so much dirty names.
So let me do this. Let me go all the way down to Kingston, Jamaica this morning and welcome the professor in on Mic Check this Saturday morning. Good morning, Mr. Cooper.
Blessed love and greetings to all the listeners in New York and across the world.
Blessed
good
love.
Morning, Cooper.
Yes, blessed love to you, yes, Sir Cooper. First of all, how is Jamaica this morning? What is the temperature like? Let me hear you.
Oh, we're having a beautiful blue sky, sunshine day.
We're having the same.
Birds are singing and
yeah.
I'm just hoping that all the little bad boys will keep themselves well-behaved. But so far, so good.
Well, we're having the same thing here. And if you turn the temperatures around, Anthony, when you came on, I said to you that I think it was 26 degrees on the outside. Mm. Let me turn it around, man. It's like 86 degrees now that Iba Cooper is on. Well, Mr. Cooper, now, reggae music, the journey of reggae music. And I know Jamaica is on a hype this Saturday morning. Mark Myrie has returned to Jamaica. But we have bigger fish to fry this morning. The United Nations recognized reggae music to the point where it says that reggae music has met all the criterias to be inscribed on the United Nations representative list. What does this mean for Jamaica, Ivo?
All right. Well, I'm going to clarify for the listeners by reading from the actual document that was signed by the participating parties. It's not like a government alone thing.
Right.
It was, public, various organizations. And so here's a letter, for example, that Jerry has signed.
Right.
The title is The Nomination of Reggae Music of Jamaica to the UNESCO Representative List of Intangible Cultural Heritage. Now, Jamaica had already got another protection of intangible cultural heritage for the Maroons, you see? And so this is maybe the second or third inscription. Now, what it means is that there are some aspects of your culture which are considered intangible because it's not something you could put on a shelf like that. It's a body of work, a period of time, something peculiar and unique to your culture that evolves out of your experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the world needs to recognize it for what it is. So here's the recognition part. It says that the nomination to the list recognizes and appreciates that reggae music, the representative list signals to the world that reggae's origin and authenticity are inextricably rooted in Jamaica. That's one of the key points.
Mm-hmm.
So don't care what we have given a gift to the world, and you have reggae in France, you have reggae in America, all over. But the origin and authenticity is rooted Jamaica. In Jamaica. That's what's important.
Critical.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
moving along though.
Yes, go ahead.
Moving along though, it says that we embrace the importance of this significant part of Jamaican heritage, and is convinced that inclusion on this prestigious list will ensure that the origins of reggae and its derivatives, that is rocksteady, dancehall, mento, everything now, you get me, that is now another category.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though reggae was a particular period in the music, we know that after Bob Marley went worldwide, the world started to accept reggae as the umbrella for what is coming out of Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So the origins of reggae and its derivatives are appropriately documented and safeguarded for present and future generations. That's the key to this whole thing.
Wow. Yes. Well, I have something to play, a little piece, and I hope the audio is good enough so the listeners could understand it and they could hear it. It's something that the Minister of Culture, the Minister Bobsey Grange, actually said something when this came down.
Thank you, Chair. Jamaica expresses for the tremendous support they received from state parties for the inscription of the reggae music of Jamaica. We extend particular thanks to Cuba and Pakistan for their open and gracious support.
and we're heartened by the show of camaraderie of many, the many stakeholders here, and appreciate your love and respect for an element that is the heart and soul of my country. We consider intangible cultural heritage to be of extreme significance in a country's identity, and so in Jamaica, we are proud of the fact that this element of reggae is one in which we often describe as that which we eat, sleep, and breathe. Reggae is no longer only ours. The world has not taken it as their own. As a long-standing reggae producer myself, I thank Lenko for this inscription. Jamaicans have long recognized that this element means so much to so many all around the world. With this inscription, Jamaica is offering you that is written there and giving even more visibility to the representative list of intangible cultural heritage of humanity and intangible cultural heritage as a whole. The number of reggae music practitioners across the globe grows every day, and as a nation, Jamaica continues to support academic conferences in its jurisdiction, such as the Jamaica Music Conference and the upcoming 6th Biennial Global Reggae Conference. These conferences include practitioners sharing with other reggae stakeholders, students, and the public. The music has also spawned a number of large music festivals across the globe, most notably the Rotterdam Music Festival in Spain, attracting upwards of over 100,000 music lovers and academics each year. Special note should also be made of the ongoing digitizing and by monthly updating of the national inventory maintained by the African Caribbean Institute of Jamaica. The Jamaica Member Bank is ongoing. We're also committed to engaging fully local communities' inventory, such as in Waterhouse and Trenchtown, which will be a part of the UNESCO heritage and creativity of sustainability community-based inventory project. We thank UNESCO for this initiative. Again, colleagues, I reiterate your deepest appreciation for the overwhelming love Jamaica has received for reggae music, which is a testament to its global impact. And therefore, at this time, I fittingly end with the words of reggae icon Bob Marley: one love, one heart. Let's get together and be all right. And I would invite you all to sing your song.
Such a massive impact around the world. This little country, this little dot, Ibo Cooper, its music has made its mark worldwide, huh?
There's a magazine that I regret throwing away because I cannot find it and I cannot find the quotation online. I was on a flight reading a National Geographic magazine. This was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a feature on Jamaica. And the quotation that jumped out at me was that it says that not since the island of Crete, which is over 6,000 years ago, south of Greece, not since the island of Crete has an island influenced the world as Jamaica has.
Wow. Wow. You know...
And then one who studied history know that most of what we consider Greek culture now was really the culture of the people of Crete.
Mm.
And it was not about armies or money. It was that they used the arts. They were very strong in poetry, dance, music, and so on.
Mm. You know, Ibo, for the last couple of weeks, my musical presentation here on a Saturday morning surrounds Kingston, Jamaica. And this morning, the presentation was with about Boris Gardner, Dobby Dobson, Bob Andy, Marcia Griffiths, just four of the greats who came out of Kingston. 50 years ago, a band was formed up at Jamaica College by the name of Inner Circle. You were a part of Inner Circle. 50 years ago, you know, Ibo Cooper. That's a long time. You left Inner Circle.
Yeah. I was at the Miami.
Yes,
I congregated with Roger, yeah.
Yes, I saw that. And you left Inner Circle and also became a part of another great band, Third World. celebrating 45 years. That's 95 years of music. Ibo, put it together. That's 95 years of music. Just walk me through the journey, Ibo. And you look at the music. You travel the world. You tour the world. Reggae music, I mean, talk about it, Ibo, because I don't have much.
I hope you have a wide variety of listeners, because some of the older people know. Mm-hmm. But I want the youth especially, because we need to build the future based upon what happened. And I want the youth to stand up on the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to hear the history. And it's not just some old boy I talk about what gone, is that there is a foundation that you have now that you can stand on.
Yes.
And so let me take you forward to the time. As a youth, I would like to give thanks personally to a lady who is no longer with us. She was like a second mother to me. And that is my mother's sister, we call her Aunt Alda, Mrs. Lyset, and Miss Mack. At 6 years old, she carried home a little music book and started to teach me music. And then she left in the rural years and came to live in Kingston. So I continued on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And what she, with the help of Mrs. Hazel Thompson, who was the mother of all of our artists, Mike Thompson, back in the day. But most of it I did on my own. And by the time I got to Jamaica College, that I was 11 years old, I remember it was my 11th birthday because I went to school on my birthday that year. I was able to do the grade 2 and skip my grade 1 and put me straight in a grade 2.
Mm.
And then the next year, then skipped again and put me straight to grade 4.
Mm.
And by that year, I also became the organist for the school.
Wow.
And started to play some prayers every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody recognized me in the school as the musician, you know?
Big man.
So I recognized Roger Lewis, who a really nice guy from those days, we were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually in a steel band. And so they used to ask me to write out the music for the steel band. Later on, they moved on to form in a circle. And during that time, I finished all of the ABRSM exams. I finished the theory part. It's an 8-grade system. I finished the theory part in 4 years by the time I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And finished the practical part by the time I was 17. And then moved on to the University of the West Indies to do physics and maths. So I completed all of that. And that time, Roger drove up to me one Sunday afternoon and said, boy, my keyboard, this is leaving. Can you fill in? So, boy, remember you know, and just never have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So I fill in for a week. So I joined in a circle to fill in for a week. Mm-hmm. And we are now talking 50 years later.
Wow.
My life's a career. But yes. you're the mystic about it now.
Mm-hmm.
I had picked up the newspaper that Sunday afternoon and looked in the newspaper, and there was a band called Memphis Underground,
mm-hmm.
who were playing at a place called Circus in Crossroads. So being after already for go watch Memphis Underground. I don't know who this band is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, Roger, pull up at the gate. So when we discussed my joining the band now, he said, what are you doing this evening? I said, boy, I'm going to go watch Memphis Underground. And he said, well, that is us. He said, it was the same band that has been doing the other for the world. And I said, because of the keyboard, he would cancel the gig.
Right.
So that is how I joined Inner Circle. We joined Inner Circle, and they renamed the band, and we became very popular. And that is actually how I met all of the greats now, because
mm-hmm.
there was no light parks and we the people here. So we were the band who used to play for all the shows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, we used to accompany Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Ken Booth, Leroy Sibley, Marcia, everybody. The shows in those days were Christmas morning stage show,
mm-hmm.
New Year's Day stage show, Boxing Day stage show, the festival, Independence in the National Arena, in the National Stadium, then those were the big shows at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were annual shows put on by promoters like Clancy Eckley.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is how we got to know the music, know the musicians, and then we started to play the festival,
right.
where we met Eric Donaldson and recorded Cherry O'Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm documenting a lot of it because a lot of it is you know, really, really anecdotal and very interesting to look at in terms of how something evolved. Because even Cherry O'Bailey, Eric said, lend me a guitar, and he was showing us the song.
Right.
But he couldn't play the straight ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So he started to play like an idiosyncratic melody. And then I turned to Roger and said, boy, look at me in the rhythm bit. Because he was all right if we had to play like a straight ahead reggae tune.
Right.
Mm.
right? But we like the way you're not doing thing, and believe you me, that's what made the song. So that's what became Terry O'Reilly.
Wow.
And I also met Tyrone Downey, because when we got to Dynamic Studio to record the song, I thought I was going to play all the keyboard parts, but Tommy Cowan, who was the producer, went for Tyrone, who was a young man at the time, and Tyrone played piano, I played organ. Mm-hmm. Tyrone, for many people.
Abel?
Okay, great.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud now. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Tyrone, for many people who don't know, went on to become Bob Marley's music director.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about some legendary, legendary people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
You know, and
so,
yes, go ahead.
We're coming down the line. Well, what had happened is that me and Ted and then decided, well, we wanted to do a little more than the top 40 dance band thing. So we left Third World, me and Kat and Pretty Hamilton, and Inner Circle continued with Reynolds Brown, who called Funky Brown as their lead singer, and then later on they met Jacob Miller, and you know that blossomed into a big thing. Jenny and her sister,
yes man.
And
and to tell you the truth, you know, Inner Circle is actually in Brazil this weekend, and hopefully next weekend Roger Lewis is going to be joining us here on Groovin' Radio. And I said this to Roger Lewis the other day. I was talking to him. I said, I'm going to tell you about a band in England called Genesis, and that's Phil Collins' band. And when I look at Genesis and I look at Inner Circle, out of Genesis came Mike Rutherford and the Mechanics. Out of Inner Circle came Third World, another great band. So and you look at you look at everything surrounding it. You look at Tommy Cowan. You look at Bunny Ruggs. You look at all the greats that came out of that one group of people, a major part of reggae music's journey. To the point now where, Anthony, we're singing praises. Everybody is singing praises. The United Nation is singing praises.
One of the things, I mean, I just wanted to touch on the UNESCO thing and the derivatives, reggae and its derivatives, because we're hearing about tropical house and even reggaeton. So there are efforts to kind of, not to steal the thing, but if you don't mind, there's, you know, people create history and say, boy, then they do that and reinvent the thing. So it's good that UNESCO is kind of documented in a way that it's not just reggae, but it's derivatives, and tropical is a derivative of reggae.
All right, let me look at the definition of what this intangible cultural heritage is. The Convention for the Safeguard of the Intangible Cultural Heritage defines intangible cultural heritage as the practice.
Ibo? I think we're having difficulties with the call this morning. Mr. Cooper?
Yeah.
I think we have lost Ibo Cooper, Anthony. I'm going to try and connect back with Ibo Cooper. So as we continue this morning, our conversation, ladies and gentlemen, is with Professor Ibo Cooper, a man who was there. A man who was there at the inception of Inner Circle, a man who was there at the birth of Third World. And Inner Circle recently celebrated 50 years of music. And the conversation this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is that the United Nation, United Nations has now recognized Jamaica's music, reggae music on a whole. Mr. Cooper just widened it, Anthony. It's not just reggae music. It's music coming out of Jamaica that has now satisfied all the criteria. So it's now inscribed on the United Nations representative list. It's just a great thing for reggae music, huh, Anthony?
Yeah, man. And as I say, the part that really intrudes me is this, the derivatives, because you know, I mean, if you look at even rap, it owes some of its genesis to reggae. And, you know, because it was some of the same Jamaicans who left Jamaica back in the 60s and 70s who came into the Bronx and started to use some of the knowledge that they had acquired from, you know, their days living in Jamaica. And out of that came rap music, which hip-hop and all of that. So it owes some of its genesis to the same reggae that we're talking about. So it's what UNESCO has done is critically important, and, you know, documenting it. And as I say, if you don't know your history, then you're bound to repeat some of the mistakes that you've made previously. You know, so it's great that, you know, UNESCO is finally recognizing reggae and giving giving recognition to the work of people like Igbo, the Honorable Robert Nesta Marley, Bob Marley, Bonnie Ruggs, and all of the other greats who came before and helped to make the music what it is today.
But you know, when you look at the foundation, and we have reconnected with Igbo Cooper Anthony, when you look at the foundation of our music, the youths today must understand that the foundation that they got built for them is a very rooted foundation. Any strong structure, and let me use a building in this sense, any strong building has to be built on a massive and great foundation. Reggae music has been built on that foundation. Speak on that in 3 minutes, Mr. Cooper, before we take the station break. The foundation of reggae music.
Yeah. Right now, the ones who are alive, I want to look at the pioneers who are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
Money Wheeler, mm-hmm. Leroy Sibley, Marcia Griffith, Julie Moat, mm-hmm. Uri, Ken Booth, just to name a few, Freddie,
mm-hmm.
McGregor, Berries. I want people to understand that these people have been in the scene for quite a long time. They are still around and they are still performing. And I would like to see them get the respect, even though you have your new artists. And we want them to go forward. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I appreciate Groovin for doing, for every year putting some of the pioneers on the show.
Mm, I want you to know that 99% of those names you just mentioned, they have actually all played Groovin in the Park. And you know, sometimes, you know, it gets kind of discouraging, Ibo, to hear some of our music lovers, the way they speak about the foundation artists. I remember someone saying that the 2 hours of presentation that we did celebrating Rocksteady's 51st anniversary with the orchestra, some have it to say it's the best presentation of music that they have ever seen. And the best presentation of music they have ever seen inside Roy Wilkins Park. And then you have those who are saying, why did we put all those old people on the show? And to the point, you know, and, you know, I could call out even artist name who disrespected the elders that day in the park, saying that those old folks should perform first and go home. Without those old folks, without the foundation of the music, there will be no music, huh, Ibo?
Well, that is part of our colonial heritage. If you have time, or you want us to do it after the break, because I want to drill down into that, because I want to make a comparison with the Latin scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, when we come back after the station break, Igbo Cooper, we will continue our conversation here. Anthony, you have anything to say before we close this segment?
There's so much.
Go ahead.
One thing that I wanted you to think about, and let's talk about it when we come back, is that they had this big 100th birthday celebration for Nelson Mandela in Africa. Beyonce, Ed Sheeran, Jay-Z, Pharrell, Usher, and all of them performed.
Mm-hmm.
Noticeably absent for me was any reggae. And when I think about the reggae artists who have championed the cause of apartheid, when it wasn't a popular thing to do back in the 70s and 80s, I think about Dennis Brown. Never do a show without talking about Nelson Mandela. Freddie McGregor, another one who championed the cause. Peter Tosh in 1977.
When we come back,
about apartheid.
When we come back, we will continue the conversation. A man must be strong to live long. Black beauty is core. Let's shake the negative vibes now.
The negative vibe, try to stay alive. But I never said it would be easy. Living in a system that you can't win. Cause by the time you're old and slow, folks hardly wanna say hello. But since we've got pride,
that is what we have here,
we'll survive.
We have pride.
We believe.
And we believe, you know, in the beauty.
In the black beauty.
When we come back, Sir Igbo Cooper.
Shake the negative vibe.
Stay where you are. It's Groovin' Radio.
Wherever you go, please remember, you can't be good, be careful, just be joyful. We've come a long way.
We have come a long way.
And still here.
We're still here, yeah.
We've been through all the stress, all the stress.